Now, in our science and technology slot today, I want to tell you about an award-winning program that's been run by two South African universities that's looking at the face of dental care for particularly children with special needs. It's a program known as the Sparkle Brush. It's a collaboration between the University of the Western Cape and University of the of KwaZulu-Natal. And absolutely delighted to have with us in studio UWC's Dr. Magandri Naidu, who is a senior lecturer for the Department of Oral Hygiene and the head of the program on this end. It's lovely to have you with us. Welcome.
Thank you, Papa, for having me. I'm glad to be here.
I think before we talk about the project itself, we need a bit of understanding of the context here. I'm thinking as a mom in the early days with small kids, dental care is an ongoing battle. You've got to constantly remind them to brush their teeth and floss and all of that. And if they're reluctant to go to the dentist, it can be really tough. But it's even more challenging for kids with special needs, isn't it? Can you tell us a little bit about the extra pressures?
Yes, rightly so. Children with special needs, we're looking at children with a range of challenges, from cognitive challenges, physical challenges, to your autism group of children who cannot tolerate just the texture of toothpaste in their mouth. Oh. So what we try to do is implement the brush program that's not only going to improve their oral care practices, but to address these challenges while we're doing it.
This is not something you've come to on the basis of anecdotal stories. There are stats from a 2005 study, I believe. The National Maternal and Child Oral Health Resource Center has released those stats some time back that point to this as a real gap in of unmet healthcare needs in our country.
Yes, most definitely. And this study actually, was born out of my own PhD research on special needs children, where we saw the need for oral care implementation in these children.
As a matter of interest, what led you into wanting to study that particular aspect of dental care for your PhD?
I think it stemmed from the fact that I myself am a parent of a special needs child. And when I was doing my master's on another aspect with special needs children, most of my participants did not attend, and not due to a physiological illness, but more due to complications from poor oral care. And so I decided to, I needed to focus on this aspect of oral care specifically for special needs children.
Okay. Now, I'm not sure how long this project has been running, but talk to us a little bit about when you realized that you wanted to look at solutions to try and mitigate the situation of kids who need extra help and just can't tolerate the kind of standard stuff that is offered to parents.
Sure. Well, actually, during data collection at these special needs schools, I realized, something needed to be done, because lots of these kids, because of the overwhelming experience at a dental practice or a dental clinic, don't actually attend these clinics. And lots of the dentists aren't equipped to handle these children because of the overwhelming challenges. So I decided, why not use the school as an ideal avenue to rather go the preventative route, the age-old saying, prevention's better than cure.
Yeah.
So I thought, let's go this route. And I got together a team, and very grateful to my team in UWC, Mrs. Kader, Mrs. Ndwandwe, and Mrs. Ajam, and of course my very dedicated UKZN team. Mm-hmm. But we decided, let's implement this program. But what we realized is, it's not just a matter of implementing a brush program. The program has to be sustained when we are no longer there. So we approached it from an angle of actually having an oral health workshop for special needs educators, your special needs therapy staff, nurses, and teaching assistants, to equip them with all the necessary knowledge and skills to carry on with the program in our absence.
Now, let's talk about what forms the program actually takes. The Sparkle Brush, there's a clue in there that it is partly to do with the design of the toothbrush itself. Let's start there. What does it look like?
Okay. So what we've done is, as I mentioned, the oral health program. But when we got to the learners themselves, when we had to implement and teach how to brush and how to perform oral care practices, we had to make certain adaptations. For example, a child with cerebral palsy with poor upper arm motor coordination. So we also realized the adaptations that we were going to make had to be done within the landscape of South Africa to accommodate for our socioeconomic background. So we realized, let's just take household equipment that's freely available or readily available and inexpensive. So we used old tennis balls, where we grip this onto the toothbrush handle. And, with an old tennis ball, it's a little softer.
Yep.
So the child not only is able to grip onto the ball, but obviously squeeze onto it, because some children tend to have a very tight grip. We also used old bicycle handles, because they have that little indentations, very similar to your fingerprint indentation when you grip onto something.
Yes.
And I also, you know, while visiting a hardware store, found these plumbing, I think it's plumbing pipes. Yep. Little ones. They're plastic ones. They're very soft. And they're actually very cheap. They're not very expensive. And we decided to use these as handles for the toothbrushes. And what we did was demonstrated to the teachers how they could actually do it. Because in the special needs schools, they have a program where they allow the children to be creative and make stuff. And so the children were very excited to actually, you know, kind of design their own toothbrush. So
clever. You get kids involved in something. They want to be part of it. They're going to want to use a brush because they've helped make it themselves.
Yes.
Absolutely simple and ingenious. Just for those who've joined us late to the conversation, my guest in studio is Dr. Magandri Naidu from the University of the Western Cape, where she's a senior lecturer in the Department of Oral Hygiene, talking to us about the Sparkle Brush Program, which is a collaboration between UWC and the University of KwaZulu-Natal, looking at this challenge of making sure that kids with special needs are able to access good oral hygiene for a preventative sort of program, if we could put it that way. Does it start and end with the brush, or have you done more than that?
No, what we do is we've also offered a fluoride program for the children. This is a topical fluoride application, which is done every 6 months. Fluoride is actually a preventative mechanism. It also helps to remineralize teeth. I'm a little scientific there. But what we do is we have the Colgate mobile unit. Colgate has partnered with us. And we try to also give the child an experience of sitting on the dental chair. So those who are brave enough and are not so anxious actually sit on the chair, have the fluoride treatment. Some kids we follow into the classroom where it's a more familiar environment.
Yep.
We've had some kids who've asked that we follow them onto the playground and do it on the swing because the type of topical fluoride that we're using, you know, can be used in the presence of saliva for these children. So we've actually restarted now on Friday, where we're revisiting the schools that we've started with last year to repeat the fluoride application program.
I love this idea of taking something that is terrifying for many kids, even those who don't face additional challenges, and putting it into a space where they feel comfortable and at ease, that they associate with feelings of happiness and being relaxed, and bringing the experience to them. What sort of impact are you seeing? Are you seeing that kids who would previously have refused to open their mouth for a dentist, for example, are amenable to this when the program comes to them?
Actually, we have seen this. Surprisingly, when we're leaving, then you find the kid, you know, these children tapping you on your back and saying, okay, no, now see, I'm going to open and you can, you know, do what you need to do. It's a very rewarding program. It's a very fulfilling program because when you get in, you see them looking at you strangely. But when you're leaving, you have all of them lining up because they want to hug you. The students tend to get more hugs. I think they look a little more friendlier than we lecturers do. And it's actually changed their mindset, the students, where they felt they've really made a difference to these students, to these children.
What about the feedback you're getting from their teachers and their parents?
We actually are in the process of evaluating the program now. We've got very positive feedback, but what our evaluation is also looking at what works, what doesn't work. Because I think you may agree, when you design a program, it's ideal on paper. When you actually implement practically, then you're going to come up with challenges, or you'll come up with strengths as well. So what may work in one school, we can share that strength to another school. And if there's challenges, then we intervene appropriately to actually address what's not working.
What have been some of the challenges you've encountered?
I think some of the challenges, as we say, is due to you've got a different range of disabilities. And this cannot be a one-size-fits-all program. So if there may be a challenge that we weren't exactly expecting to encounter, then we need to kind of, if I can say, go to the drawing board, rework certain issues. And I think one of the main challenges we encountered is access. More from our side, not really the school. I have to commend the schools. They've been phenomenal in participating in the program. Is maybe us gaining access to them.
So you spoke earlier about your acute awareness that this needs to be sustainable if it's going to have a real impact. Talk to us about what it's going to take to make that possible. Are you talking about making this part and parcel of dental studies at UWC, that all your students will be involved in something like this, or does it need more than that?
I think we want to kind of inculcate this behavior of community engagement in the students, but also more so for the teachers, especially teachers at special needs schools. Obviously they have to address different challenges compared to, I'm not saying it's more or less, mm-hmm. but it's a new set of challenges. So we want to make this program where it becomes a form of behavior, a change in oral care behavior, rather than just doing the program in the school, which is why each child gets two toothbrushes, so they can practice the oral care practices that they've learned at school, practice at home as well. Mm-hmm. But also we provide the teachers, because if you've taken care of your own oral health, you're going to be able to offer that same care to your children when the oral care team is away.
I do want to mention that this program has been the recipient of the International Social Responsibility Award in Brisbane, Australia last year. Tell us a little bit more about what that award recognizes and what that meant to your team.
Well, we actually presented at the International Federation of Dental Hygienists Conference in Brisbane, and we won for the Social Responsibility Program. It's actually the country won, because, it won as an entrant from South Africa. Mm-hmm. So it was a very proud moment for us South Africans up there. And, some of the prize money helped to address some of the financial challenges mm-hmm. that we were expecting here with this program, but also because it has been personally funded so far.
Gosh.
So while I'm on the subject of funding and we're on the radio, I would really want to thank the community of Simonstown that has contributed towards this program.
Really? How did that come about? Is that
well, you know, Mrs. Kaden, my colleague at UWC, who is part of this program. Mm-hmm. So she obviously, spoke to members of the community. She's also very vested in the special needs community. So, and she, managed to get us some funding, because the training workshop with the teachers, because it was a full day training workshop as well, we had to provide meals for mm-hmm. the teachers and teas, but also in terms of traveling, accommodation, because this program is also in KZN. So we had to travel to KZN.
Yeah.
KZN, the research department, Faculty of Dentistry there as well, funded some of the project in KZN. But as I say, Mrs. Kader went beyond to get us some funding for the program from Simonstown.
Well, well done, Mrs. Kader, and thank you, Simonstown. What a wonderful thing to be part of. Somebody's commenting, and I agree with them, on the SMS line, how refreshing it is to hear a story of collaboration like this, because so often we hear the stories of how competitive the academic world can be and between institutions. Is it quite common that faculties at two different universities would work together like this?
I think this collaboration came about is because the PhD was done at UKZN.
Uh-huh.
And my supervisor, Professor Shenuka Singh, was part of this collaboration. And then we decided that this whole need for this program stemmed from there. Mm-hmm. And then I obviously took the post at UWC, and right. I thought both communities needed it. So let's do a collaboration. We're currently trying to go national, as in including other provinces. So we're using the platform of our Oral Hygiene Association of South Africa. We have national branches. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping to share with them this program at each region, so we can incorporate it into the different, Eastern Cape, Gauteng, yeah. Northern Cape.
It strikes me that what you've articulated is that it needs a very certain special level of care and patience to be able to deliver good dental health and oral health to kids with special needs. Is anybody specializing in that as the dentists themselves? Are these students that you're training and putting through this program potentially able to open a practice that they can advertise themselves as a special needs friendly dentist, for example?
We have this as a component for the oral hygiene students.
Okay.
And I'm sure in dentistry, they have a pediatric component
okay.
that they would cover this aspect. And I think, if I can just quote my own daughter, she said, she's a dentistry student, can't get.
Okay.
I think, when I'm working, I'm going to dedicate one day a week where you can treat only special needs children.
Fantastic.
it's something to get into the curriculum, which is there, I think, in the pediatric dentistry, which I can't comment so much about because I'm more involved in the oral hygiene.
Sure, fair enough, fair enough. But it's a lovely vision to think that this level of engagement and the exposure to this kind of project during their studies might perhaps steer some of those students into a sense of having a calling for this work.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. It's been wonderful to chat to you. My guest has been Dr. Magandri Naidu of UWC, Senior Lecturer in the Department of Oral Hygiene and the person driving the Sparkle Brush program. Magandri, if anybody's listening, if there's maybe a school that you haven't been to yet who's going, we need this help, how do they get in touch with you?
If they can please contact us, all the information is on the UWC website. And if they can please contact us, because we'd like to expand the program more so into outlying areas. We've been doing suburban schools, so we'd like to reach some of the rural schools. And we are open to expand to a few more schools this year.
Thank you so much for joining us in studio today, and our very best wishes to you for the continued growth and success of this program.
Thank you, Papa.
Dr. Magandri Naidu of University of the Western Cape.